Hello, this is Sean Kennedy. I'm the editor-in-chief of the American Journal of Nursing, and I'm very pleased today to be speaking to Dr. Jerry Rose Britton. Dr. Britton is an assistant professor of nursing at the Decker School of Nursing in Binghamton University in Binghamton, New York, where with colleagues she did a study, and we were very pleased to publish this in our June issue. And the study is an original research on the experiences of pregnant smokers and their providers. Welcome, Jerry.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
It's delightful, and I was very pleased that you sent this study to us because smoking, of course, is such an issue. We know it's one that bedevils people in terms of how to help people stop smoking, and everyone's always looking for that magic approach. And it was interesting to me to see when you did your study just the different themes that emerged from both the providers and the pregnant women who you interviewed in the focus groups. So before we get too far, why don't you tell me a little bit in terms of why this study at this point? What made you, what prompted this at this point?
Right. Well, it was a follow-up to our original study, which was done with 194 women. And these, it was a nurse-managed study, and we found no effect of this program on women during pregnancy. They did not seem to respond to us in smoking cessation. We did not spur motivation in those women, but those women who stopped smoking by themselves by the first prenatal visit, we did make a difference by their postpartum visit. So we were somehow not capturing why we were not motivating these women. So we decided to do, instead of a quantitative study, to do a qualitative study with focus groups to really find out about their experiences so they could tell us what we're doing right as nurses and what we're not really, you know, approaching things in the best way. And we also thought that we really, because there's no literature on providers, not at least with pregnant women and their nurses, and even their physicians, that we would try to explore both at the same time. The focus groups, though, were held separately for each of these groups, but we thought that it would be important to have these focus groups be conducted concurrently.
Yeah, that was a fascinating part of the study, because as you said, that's not something people have really done in terms of groups that were dealing with each other and concurrently.
Right.
Were there any surprises that came out of this?
Well, the surprises were that we were hearing the same themes from both the pregnant smokers and the providers. It was so interesting in each different location because we held 9 different focus groups in 3 different communities over 2 counties that we were hearing the same messages. And that the providers really almost kind of understood what the pregnant smokers were feeling, but at the same time weren't really changing their approach, which ironically was one of the themes that came out, was the approach that providers were taking with these pregnant smokers.
And the themes were, correct me if I'm wrong, barriers to quitting, mixed messages, approaches and attitudes, and the program modalities, I think, were the themes.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. We really left it very open-ended. We would ask about what their experiences were for the pregnant women with their providers, and so they could then, you know, share with us very freely in a very open environment. We provided a dinner or a lunch to the pregnant women, and they found that the groups, and the other surprising thing was that they found that the groups were very supportive and helpful for them in their postpartum period. In fact, one woman after one group approached me and said, "Do you know, I was really not feeling up to coming at all. I've been feeling a little down, and that this was just provided me the motivation to get out and see other people," and that she found a lot of support from the other women around the group. So it really almost became an, well, focus groups often are the intervention, just only the assessment.
Right. And one of the things that came out, which certainly I think for providers to really take to heart, is their part in whether they were making the mothers feel more motivated or kind of engaging in behaviors or attitudes that almost provoked the pregnant women who smoke to not want to be motivated to quit.
Right, right. And that pushback is just amazing, that both felt that the more that they spoke about the issue, the more pushback they got. And this was especially profound from the women who felt that, and they said that, the more that they were preached to or more than nagged, they wanted to smoke more because they were constantly being told that they were bad people. This is how they perceived it.
Oh, their perception, yeah.
Their perception was that they were essentially being told that they were not good and that they were not doing the right thing, which obviously we as providers want to enhance the health of both mother and baby, and we do give those messages that they obviously should quit smoking. And that was the other thing with the mixed messages. Some providers were saying that they should cut back. Others were saying that they, should quit completely.
Mm-hmm.
And there is controversy about both approaches, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But that this is one of the mixed messages. And the other obvious, and I think to most of your readers, it's very obvious that women who have had other babies that they perceive as being healthy, despite their smoking during pregnancy, feel that this is not a problem for them.
Mm-hmm.
They do not perceive that asthma, continuing asthma after the baby is born into childhood, is really a result of their smoking
mm-hmm.
during pregnancy.
Yeah, that's interesting. So for our readers, what do you, in the sense of the, you know, the primary message, what would you want our readers to take away from this of all the, I mean, there's a lot of good information in this study in terms of the discussion and just understanding the feelings of the women who were smoking. But what is the main takeaway?
Well, the main takeaway is what one patient actually said, one pregnant smoker, that they are not being, that nurses are not asking them what they already know before the lecture begins.
Hmm.
So what I think that message is that we need to listen more. We need to ask them what they know about the effects of smoking and to then step back and let them tell their stories.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Rather than, as one of my students says, to take out my bag of educational lectures. and I think we tend to make a lot of pronouncements, and we don't even realize we're doing that, rather than just asking the questions and listening to what the women have to say.
Listening more, and what we perceive as educating, they may perceive as preaching.
Right, exactly. And it's such a simple way of dealing with things. That's what we're taught, but somehow this doesn't translate into real practice.
Yeah.
And that's, the latest Cochrane Review showed us that the effect of cessation programs for pregnant women that are integrated into care have very little effect in the large randomized controlled trials.
Hmm.
So we really do have to come at this from a different angle and really ask the pregnant women are the experts in this, and
mm-hmm.
we have to flip the roles.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have to flip classrooms. They have to tell us what's going to work best for them,
and
their health.
Well, thank you, Jerry, for taking the time to provide a little bit more context for the study. As I mentioned, the study appears in our June issue. It's the experience of pregnant smokers and their providers, and you can read it in print, online, or on the iPad. So do read it, and I think there's a lot of good information here, especially if you're a nurse working with women who are pregnant or who are thinking of becoming pregnant and young mothers. So again, thank you, Jerry, very much.
And thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.